that's what it's all about. You've got to groove on freedom, like the good book says.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome. You're listening to What on Earth is Happening here on Republic Broadcasting. I'm your host, Mark Passio. My website, whatonearthishappening.com. Into the second hour of the broadcast tonight, I'm going to be giving the extended version of my Second Amendment presentation entitled The True Meaning and Purpose of the Second Amendment that I gave at Philadelphia Liberty on the Rocks on February 10th. So I'm moving on to slide number 2, which begins the presentation with 27 words worth fighting for. Of course, all of these images are available with the podcast. This is podcast 188, or you can get them if you're listening live right now at the radio show page underneath the player for tonight's broadcast. So the 27 words that are worth fighting for, as they have been called, that comprise the Second Amendment, I give in slide number 3. Slide 3 shows the Second Amendment's wording, along with images of its two authors, George Mason and James Madison. The Second Amendment was ratified into the Bill of Rights with many, with the other nine amendments of the Bill of Rights on December 15th, 1791. And the Second Amendment states, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's about as self-explanatory and as powerful and as simple and as unambiguous as it could possibly be written. Yet there are still complete idiots in this world who want to make all kinds of revisionist interpretations and say this is not a right, this is not about a right. They want to say that the militia is a body of government, that want to say that, you know, gun laws are just fine and are, you know, not infringements upon the right of people to keep and bear arms. In short, what people want to do is change the definitions of words. That's what they want to do. They want to make up their own meanings for words. Forget conventionally agreed upon definitions. What do we need dictionaries for? We don't need anything like that. I can make up what words mean. You know, why not? I just say it means something and then it does. Right? That's what people really want. Because they just think they're God. It's all this. Look, folks. That's all this all comes down to. People who say, I'm God, I'm going to determine what truth is. And then it'll be that way. Not for me to actually look into anything and try to understand what actually is present. No. I'll make it up as I go along. That's what government is. That's what the police are. That's what statists are. They're people who ultimately believe that authority is vested in man. And that means man is God. That's all. That's all this whole thing is about, folks. You can't understand what this entire thing is about. Earth is being turned into hell because people think they're God. That's it. You haven't figured that out yet. You're not paying attention whatsoever. So, those are the 27 words, the simple 27 words that comprise Amendment 2 of the Bill of Rights, the Constitution of the United States. But what does it mean? I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but there's people who apparently need in-depth explanation of what this means. And it's mostly because they really don't understand the word militia, which is the heart and soul of the Second Amendment. The heart and soul of the Second Amendment is the term militia. If you don't understand the word militia, you don't understand the Second Amendment. And this is part of the problem, especially with the foreign people. okay? The people who are not from the United States, who don't have this rich tradition. They unfortunately haven't inherited this rich tradition about gun rights, gun ownership rights, which is a human right. See, it's like being born with no arms, pun intended. It's like literally being born without physical arms. I'm not talking about firearms. I mean arms that end with your hand, okay? And somebody trying to explain to somebody how to manipulate an object with their fingers, and that person was born with no arms or hands. They're not going to even be able to comprehend or perceive at all. They won't be able to conceive what you're talking about. Because they don't have the equipment. They don't actually have it present. It's not there. And this is what people born in other countries are like when it comes to gun rights ownership. Gun ownership rights, I'm sorry. It's literally like they can't conceive of it because they were born in an amputated state. They were already disarmed, born into a nation that was disarmed, enslaved because it was disarmed. You know, and people could say, oh, Mark, you can't fault them because of that. It's all they've ever known. Sure, I can. Sure, I absolutely can fault them for that. Because it's called knowledge that's present and is actively being ignored. Sure, I can fault people for that. They're not nescient people. What they are is they have their head up their rear end and they think they're so awake and so spiritual because their country doesn't have firearms. Oh, look at these barbarians over here. Oh, they have gun deaths. Yeah, you have more violent crime in your countries, people from England and Australia. You have more violent crime overall. Just because there's more gun violence in the United States doesn't mean there's more overall violent crime. Maybe if you count in all the crime being conducted by the police, yeah, I'll bet you we have more violent crime than the whole rest of the world put together. You know? Look at how much assault, robbery, knife violence, violence with blunt objects goes on in England. Your people are just as violent as anybody elsewhere around the world. Get over yourselves. Okay? The thing is, you're more enslaved because you don't have the ability to resist your government. So when they come with guns, you know what you're going to do? You're going to crap your pants like little boys. That's what you're going to do. Because you let yourself be disarmed. Your forefathers let yourselves be disarmed. Like the clowns that they were. And sorry to say it that way, just that harshly. But you know what? It's their fault, and now the sins of the fathers are visited on the sons. And it's your fault that it continues. It's your fault that it continues, boys. So we got to say it that harsh, and if feelings get hurt, they get hurt. I ain't here to be your friend. I'm not your friend. Get that through your head. I'm not your friend. I'm a teacher of truth. I'm not interested in your friendship. I'm interested in freedom. I don't care if you like me. Hate me all you want. I'm going to speak the truth. That's what I'm charged to do spiritually in this world, and that's what I'm going to do. So what I intend to do in this presentation, ladies and gentlemen, is to completely break down every word and every phrase in the Second Amendment so it could be very readily understood by people who are still a little slow on the uptake, if you take my meaning. You know, they're a little bit slowed down. So we have to explain what every phrase means. And to do that, we're going to be doing something that they call in gun parlance, field stripping. Field stripping means you're breaking down the firearm essentially to its constituent components that are required for its continued proper operation. And more likely than not, you're doing this to clean it, to check it, to make sure it's, to ensure its proper function. This is known as field stripping. So this is slide number 4. Field stripping, or breaking it all down. That's what we're going to be doing with the 27 words of the Second Amendment. So let's begin with the first phrase of those 27 words in slide number 5 I'm moving on to now. A well-regulated militia. So now we have to define every part of this. Okay, now, of course, articles, I think we know, you know, is an article. Okay, the, we won't be doing that. Okay, if you don't know what articles are in language, you know, you have more mental problems than we can get into. But let's start with the phrase well-regulated. Okay, and then we'll get to the all-important word, militia, which I said is the heart and soul of Amendment 2. But what did the founders mean? What did the authors of the Second Amendment, George Mason and James Madison, along with other founding fathers, mean by the term well-regulated when it was applied to the word militia? Well, many revisionists insist this means, oh, this meant government regulation. It meant, right, it had to be overseen by government. When we say, oh, this part of the economy, or this part of the world, or this part of society is regulated now in 2015, oh, we're referring to government regulation. The government's involved in that. It has its hand in it. It's checking to see, oh, this has to be done the way we say, and this has to be done the way we say. That's what government regulation and oversight is, right? So that must have been what the founders meant by well-regulated when they wrote that into the Bill of Rights in the Second Amendment, right? Wrong. Wrong. Absolutely incorrect. See, this is where these revisionist interpretations come in. And people want to confuse modern parlance with the parlance of the founding fathers. And they're not the same at all. The founders had were absolutely not referring to government in any respect when they used the phrase a well-regulated militia. So to this slide is, the title of this slide in slide number 6 is, what does, quote, well-regulated really mean as it is spoken, as it is written in the Second Amendment? So let's look at the word regulate. The word regulate, the dictionary definition of the word regulate is to maintain according to a set of standards so that something operates or functions properly, such as with a machine or a process, or mechanical process. So let's read this again slowly and take it apart, okay? To maintain according to a set of standards. Now, just what we were talking about before, taking apart a firearm to ensure its proper operation. All the components are in good shape. They're not worn down. They're working correctly. They're oiled properly so that they're sliding correctly if they need to be up against each other and sliding. They're clean. There's not grime and grit. And therefore, you're going to ensure that that firearm is working properly and safely for the operator and those that he does not wish to hit with any discharge from that firearm. Maintain according to a set of standards so that something operates or functions properly, such as with a machine, like a firearm, or a mechanical process, the process of loading the firearm, discharging the firearm properly. That is what regulated referred to in the Second Amendment. The term, quote, well-regulated, unquote, in the Second Amendment had nothing to do with government regulation. It literally referred to the regularization and maintenance of equipment being used and proper training for tactics being employed. So I'll explain this. Okay, we already explained well-regulated, to maintain according to a set of standards so that something operates properly. This is what it meant when it came to regularization and maintenance of equipment, of the firearm itself. So as I put in this slide, you see a rack of shotguns, perhaps 12-gauge shotguns, okay? Pump action. They are there, and they are well-regulated. They are all in the same condition. You have the same basic firearm. If you wanted to train a tactical squad on a 12-gauge pump-action shotgun, this would be a well-regulated condition. You're keeping them together. They're all cleaned. They're all functioning properly. And then you're going to train tactics on them. Okay, that was the other part of well-regulated. The first part was the physical machinery is operating and functioning properly. The second part of well-regulated meant that the team that is going to be using that equipment understands the operation of this equipment, knows how to use it, and knows tactics with it. They know tactical operations with that piece of equipment. And that is simply what well-regulated meant in the Second Amendment. You used similar equipment. And back then it was muskets with ball shot ammunition and black powder. They had to understand. Well, the ammunition had to be regulated to the size of the musket barrel. The powder had to be made properly. You had to then understand how to use that powder so that you didn't blow yourself up or blow the firearm up. People had to be trained on the operation of those muskets. That was part of well-regulated, part of a militia that was well-regulated. They all knew how the equipment functioned, and they knew how to use it. They knew how to clean it. They understood battle tactics with it. Very simple concept, except for the statist, the brainwashed statists out there who insist that the word regulated comes from government. It's ordained by our God and Master, government. Had nothing to do with it whatsoever. So now that that's out of the question, that question of what well-regulated in the Second Amendment meant is laid to rest, let's move to slide number 7 and get to the very heart and soul of the Second Amendment right off the bat. And that is, what is the militia? So a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. What did the founders mean by the militia? Capital M. The English word militia is derived from the Latin term militium vulgarum. Militium means of or like the military, similar to the military. And the term, the word vulgarum means present everywhere. Like vulgar Latin, the kind of language that was common to the people of Rome, of the Roman Empire. Vulgar Latin spoken everywhere. Everybody knows it. This is why the word vulgar became a term that meant, oh, it's kind of base, because it's all about the commoners, the common folk. So if it's popular among them, it was vulgar to the aristocracy. To where the word vulgar came from. So the term that militia comes from, that it is a truncated English form of militium vulgarum, which literally means like the military, everywhere present. We'll pick up that very important concept on the other side of this break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to What on Earth is Happening here on RBN. Stay with us.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821, or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Back, everyone. You're listening to What on Earth is Happening here on Republic Broadcasting. I'm your host, Mark Passio. My website, whatonearthishappening.com. Before the break, we were defining the militia. From the term militium vulgarum, which literally means like the military, present everywhere. Or in other words, capability that is commensurate to a military, which is present everywhere or distributed throughout a population. The militia is distributed capability of force. The distributed capability of the usage of force. That is what the militia is in a nutshell. And the word distributed is very important. Distributed throughout, meaning it's not concentrated in one location, which could easily be destroyed, or you could, you know, do something to remove that from that one location. It's everywhere. It's omnipresent. It's a swarm. Okay? This is a term I didn't really use in the presentation when I first gave it, but you're going to hear me use it a lot. It's like a swarm of bees is what the militia is. That it wouldn't make a difference if you took one bee out. There's still a swarm of thousands. And good luck. What's one super strong, even a giant being, going to do against thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of bee stings? You know what you're going to do? you're going to drop to the ground. You're not going to do much against that. That's why they fear the militia. They fear the proper understanding of militia. They don't even want you to understand properly what a militia is, how it is constituted, how it forms, how it works. They don't want any understanding of that. And you know, when they don't want you to understand something, they fear it. The powers that should not be fear the militia. People say, oh, what are all small arms going to do against governments with nuclear weapons and tanks and, bombers? A whole lot is the answer. And you know what? They know it. They know it because they know the power that's inherent in the militia. And they fear it. And they don't want anybody else to understand the power of the militia. That's why they have to demonize it. That's why they have to tell people, oh, it's ineffectual, or it's something that's outdated. It doesn't apply to today. Or they have to demonize it and say, oh, those are all bad people, somehow. Get people to believe that through repetition, through propaganda, on the nightly brainwashing media. A militia is a decentralized, meaning it is not controlled from a centralized location. No one can just say, oh, you are going to follow this one dictator order. It's not hierarchically organized. It is a decentralized, distributed force of armed individuals who maintain weapons and tactics similar to a military force. But unlike a standing army or a standing military, a traditional military force, a militia is not centrally controlled or directed by a government. If the members of the militia so agree, they could be directed by a government in the event that the government needed to repel an insurrection or to fight a foreign invasion. And then a militia members could, in their own conscience, decide whether they were going to fight according to that cause. The militia is not the military. People who equivalate these things, who try to say that they're the same thing, are either wrong or lying to you deliberately to try to obfuscate what the militia is. The militia is not the military of the United States. It is not any branch of the military. It is not the National Guard. The militia is not a standing army. It is a distributed fighting force that is present everywhere throughout the country. And as John said when he came on the show earlier, the militia is still very much present and active. Make no mistake about it. When you understand exactly who the militia is, you'll understand why that statement is very true. And we'll pick that point up on the other side of this break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to What on Earth is Happening? The true meaning and purpose of the Second Amendment being presented here tonight. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life.
Really?
I gotta try iodine now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals.
Wow. Why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Or visit microplantpowder.com. Microplantpowder.com.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to What on Earth is Happening here on RBN. I'm giving an extended version of my presentation called The True Meaning and Purpose of the Second Amendment. And I'm going to move on to slide number 8. In slide 7, we were explaining what the militia actually is, and that the militia is not the military, and it is not a standing army. It is, in fact, a decentralized, distributed fighting force of individuals who are armed and maintain weapons and tactics similar to a military force. But unlike a standing army, they are not centrally controlled or directed by a government. So, who constitutes the militia? Who is the militia? Is the question posed on slide number 8. When they were asked the question, who constitutes the militia? What do you mean by the militia? The authors of the Second Amendment and other American founders and patriots were consistently clear and unambiguous in their explanation of who the militia is. The militia spoken of in the Second Amendment is comprised of the entire body of the people who are capable of employing arms for the purpose of repelling an organized foreign or domestic threat to their lives or freedom. The entire body of people capable of using arms for the purpose of repelling a foreign threat to their lives, a foreign threat to their freedom, or a domestic threat to their lives, or a domestic threat to their freedom. That is who constitutes the militia, which means the militia and the people are one and the same. It is the body of people who are capable of using any form of arms in the service of self-defense, the defense of their lives, their freedom, and their property. So the answer to the question, who is the militia, posed on slide number 8, is answered on slide number 9. You are the militia. Surprise! Now, you know, I hope most people, at least, look, I hope that at least the American men and women who are listening to the broadcast tonight already knew this. But I'd be, you know, maybe I give people too much credit, and maybe most of them don't even know that they are militia members already. Now, I've known that I've been a member of the militia since the first time I even tried to understand what the Second Amendment was. And I did a little bit of research and understood, wow, the militia is the people. It's everyone that is capable of defending their life and freedom with any arms. But you got so many idiots out there that still don't understand that that's who is the militia. They don't understand this concept of a militia. They hear the word militia and they think, oh, bad people, evil people trying to take over, impose their will. Militia is a defensive organization of people. That's it. It remains actually in an unorganized state until it is required to use it, because it is almost always used as a last resort. We want to use our reason and our intellect and our intelligence and our nurturing and our creativity and our wisdom first. But when people reject all of that and there is no recourse, self-defense is required. You're not just going to sit there and allow your rights to be taken or your lives to be taken. I mean, folks, this is what happened to the Jews in Nazi Germany. You know, they didn't offer resistance. There was only a few pockets of resistance, namely in some of the worst places like the Warsaw ghettos. There was some resistance there. And you know what? Statistically, they survived more than all the rest of the Jews who were exterminated, because they resisted physically. Now, another thing, I'm going to make references to Nazis all I like, okay? Because if I'm going to bring up something that historically took place and I want to use it as an example, that's my right to do so. So I'm tired of people writing to me and saying, don't talk about the Nazis or the German Workers' Party and the German people, how they let all this evil happen. Why? Because it's true? You're the one who's going to revise history and say, oh, it didn't happen like this? Because you don't agree with numbers? Or because you have German ancestry? And you want your ancestors to look better than they were? When the people living in Germany during World War II were totally immoral trash to let what happened happen in that country? And I'll say it right to somebody's face. Just like the American people, the vast majority of them are totally immoral trash to allow what's happening in this country right now. And I'll say it right to these people's face out on the street. All this garbage revisionism about Hitler being some kind of a saint or something going around. I mean, please. Please. One more person sends me this junk on my Facebook or my email. I mean, you people belong in mental institutions. And you want to say, I don't have it right. I don't know what happened. Let me tell you something. The evidence that it happened and is still happening is all around us. The Nazis never lost. They went underground. They took this country from the inside. And the clowns living here still don't understand what happened. People don't want to acknowledge this. They don't want to acknowledge the evil that was done by the Nazis because you don't agree with the numbers and you're so anti-Semitic. You have to make up stuff about how the numbers are all inflated. I don't care if it was 5 people, okay? How about the Holocaust that's happening in the United States called the police murdering citizenry? How about that Holocaust that's happening at a rate of over 1,000 people a year? You know? We got a little mini Holocaust going on right here in the United States right now, folks. So you know what? All the trash out there that thinks the Nazis were so wonderful and Hitler was so wonderful, just forget my email even exists. I don't want to hear from you. When I get any garbage like that, your name goes in a block list. And, you know, you could try to write to me from another email address, but that's going to go in the block list. And I have a script, I hit a button, and it does it. It's like no sweat off my brow, folks. You're never even going to know that your email is never getting to me. Never looking at it. I'm never reading it. You're wasting your time. I'm not interested in your garbage revisionism of human history. I get the whole Second World War was fomented by international bankers. It's always done like that. Wars are always manipulated like that by the super rich elitists who want to profit from all the weapons. I get it. That doesn't take away from Nazism being an occult religion that almost took over the whole world. And that, by the way, that's why the next topic of the next series I'm going to do is going to be the occult roots of Nazism on this show. Because too many people don't understand the dark occult roots of Nazism. They don't understand how entrenched that religion still is in the United States today. And throughout the world, for that matter. Going back to the presentation, slide number 9. You are the militia. From the mouth of George Mason, the actual co-author, along with James Madison, of the Second Amendment. Don't take my word for it. Don't take anybody else's word for it. Go back to the original source and source material. George Mason, who wrote the Second Amendment, said, "What is the militia? It is the whole people." That's it. Right from his mouth. It is the people. The people and the militia are one and the same. The people become the militia when they have to deal with a threat to their lives, freedom, and property, and therefore they have to organize with arms. You are the militia. Like it or not, doesn't make a difference whether you agree with it or not, it's the case. Not because he said it either. It's a conceptual idea that in nature, when a threat comes that is too big for single parties or just small groups of people to handle, people have to come together and organize against that threat with arms. It is something that actually exists in nature, a distributed fighting force that is capable of repelling a foreign or domestic attack against its life or freedom. Against the people's lives and freedom. That is what a militia is. And militias should exist everywhere on the surface of the earth. Everywhere. Unfortunately, we've let that right slack because of brainwashing and propaganda. Slide number 10. James Madison, the other author of the Second Amendment, along with George Mason, said, quote, a well-regulated militia composed of the body of the people trained to arms is the best and most natural defense of a free country. I mean, all the people who are against guns, all the people who are against firearms, all the anti-gunners, the anti-gun lobby, all the bleeding heart liberals out there, the leftists, the Marxists, oh, we want guns only in the hands of the state. Oh, you're so much wiser than the founders of this country, aren't you? Oh, they were just rich white men who had slaves. All this neo-Marxist, you know, garbage socialism propaganda. You know so much better than the founders. You're so much more well-educated. You have such a better mind than they did, don't you? These pieces of trash today. Putting down the greatest men who ever walked in this land. You couldn't carry their coattails for them. And let me tell you something, if these men came back today, they'd crap on this country for what we've allowed it to become. And rightfully so. Slide number 11. Richard Henry Lee. The Second Continental Congress delegate from Virginia, who actually tabled the motion for American independence. He was actually asked to table it because those from Massachusetts who wished to table it, like Samuel Adams and John Adams, etc., and who had some support, they needed support to show that at least another state was interested in American independence from the crown. And so Richard Henry Lee was actually asked, I believe it was by John Adams and Benjamin Franklin, to table the motion. And he did. I mean, you know, this man's name is practically unknown even in American history, and yet he put the Declaration of Independence forward. You know, he put the motion for American independence forward. And he stated, quote, a militia, when properly formed, are in fact the people themselves and include all men capable of bearing arms. I mean, there it is right there, folks. I mean, how many more examples do people need? The militia is the people. The people themselves, including all men capable of bearing arms. And I would go so farther. Again, in his day, women would not have been included in the militia because it would have been unheard of for them to actually fight. Women are part of the militia as well. They bear the responsibility for self-defense as much as men do. You want equal rights? You want to be treated with equality under natural law? Well, then you need to understand the same conceptual ideas regarding freedom and regarding self-defense, and you need to actually employ them. And you know what? With firearms, there's no reason a woman should not be properly trained and should not be in that mental attitude, without any doubt. You know, and a gun in the hands of a woman is the great equalizer, and more importantly, it is the power to say no with teeth when you're being accosted by someone who is physically more domineering and powerful than you. Which is why I have no idea why women would not be 100% pro-gun. It's all brainwashing that they listen to in the media. They're sitting there watching that television too damn much. And therefore, they're getting all of this propaganda seeping into the mind, and they're taking on the same opinions, and they think they're thinking their own thoughts. Shut the television off. And open a book. Slide number 12. Here's another quote about the people being the militia. Tench Cox, Pennsylvania delegate to the First Continental Congress. Who are the militia? Are they not ourselves? Congress shall have no power to disarm the militia. Their swords and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American. The unlimited power of the sword is not in the hands of either the federal or state governments, but where I trust in God, it will ever remain in the hands of the people. Oh no, these weren't great men. These weren't men of extraordinary minds. No, no. We got to reduce them to just rich, uncaring white landowners who had slaves. I mean, please, with this absolute garbage, social Marxism, cultural Marxism. I mean, you know, it's just running like a viral disease through this country, cultural Marxism, trying to discredit the great men who put their lives on the line against the greatest military power in the history of the world at that time, Britain, under the control of some sick, psychopathic, inbred boy king who thinks he was God, and fought and died and gave their blood to secure the small modicum of freedom that Americans secured for themselves. But no, all the cultural Marxists out there, they know better than the founders of this country. These Marxist, social Marxist idiots are pure trash, and they're destroying this country.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Your money. What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real. Something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible. Just like a savings account. But a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org and start saving now.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money, has a storage life of 100 years, all for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. 910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at HempUSA.org.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to What on Earth is Happening here on RBN. I'm giving my Second Amendment presentation live on the air tonight, and we've been breaking down the concept of the well-regulated militia in part one. Let's move on to the next section. The next words in the Second Amendment are being necessary to the security of a free state. I'm moving on to slide number 13 now. And this follows a well-regulated militia. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. So let's break down all of the phrases in here. Oh, we know what the word being means. It's in existence. When they're saying being necessary, it means it is required. Okay, we'll talk about the meaning of the word necessary, but we're going to have to break down the word necessary. We're going to have to break down the word security, and we're going to have to break down the word, the term free state in this section. So let's look at the word necessary in slide number 14. So we can understand what it means, what being necessary to the security of a free state means. Slide 14. I call this slide necessarily strong language. The founders were very specific about the language that they chose in the documents that they put forward for posterity. The word necessary, the dictionary definition of the word necessary is required to be done, achieved, or present. Needed, essential, something that you cannot do without, that must be there. That if you take it away, what you're trying to do cannot be done. So, if a well-regulated militia is necessary, what is it necessary for? We're going to find that out. The word necessary actually appears in the whole Constitution of the United States only 6 times, and it appears in the Bill of Rights only 1 time in the Second Amendment. The only place the word necessary was used by the founders in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to refer to a thing, group, or entity is in the Second Amendment, where it refers to a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The only thing which the authors of the Constitution and Bill of Rights enshrined as necessary was the militia of the people. Not even the 3 branches of government, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, or in other words, the president, the executive branch, the Congress, formed of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and being the legislative branch, and the Supreme Court being the judiciary branch, the judicial branch of the government, were referred to using the word necessary in the Constitution. Not even the 3 branches of government had the term necessary tacked onto them to emphasize their absolute importance and that you could not do without them. The question then necessarily, pun intended, becomes, to what ultimate purpose did the founders understand that the militia, comprised of the people, was in fact necessary, required, essential to the security of a free state, which we're going to explain on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to What on Earth is Happening. Stay with us.